Happy Saturday, Nashville, and welcome into the Michelle and Junie Show. I'm Michelle Knezovic. We're joined in studio with Junie Riddle and Jared Cassidy. Michelle and Junie Show is presented by the Nashville Jam Company in Berry Hill, Nashville's premier breakfast and brunch spot. Could use that this morning. And Superbook Sport, voted the number one sports book in Vegas. Download their app today. And don't forget, at 9:45, we'll be using Superbook to make our picks. We got some bowl games happening around the country. We've also got NFL Saturday. We love that. And also NFL Sunday. Junie, how are we doing this morning?
Doing really good. You had mentioned last week that Thursday was my birthday. And, you know, I have such great friends that you and Ryan came over and brought me some cookies. And we watched some Thursday night football. So, you know, just had a really good week this week, you know. The baby boy also, you know, giving me a good night's sleep for my birthday as well. So very well rested on this Saturday morning with you.
Yes, Judy. I can't believe I even forgot to mention. So we have got the little mini Steelers fan. How old is he now?
He will be
almost 4 weeks.
4 weeks tomorrow.
Okay, so almost a month old. You have survived a month as a father. So that is 26 and a month as a father. So that is a round of applause. Jared Cassidy, how are you doing this morning?
Pretty good. Another Saturday in Nashville here at the Murfreesboro Road.
And can I also?
But we hope everybody.
Can I also mention that, you know, bowl season has begun. So this is also a really exciting time.
Also, and
World Cup third place game, championship tomorrow. And then we have NFL football on Saturday, which is awesome. I love this time of year. It's, you know, it's around the holiday season. Christmas is almost a week away, and you know, this is a big time for sports. I'm super excited.
Judy, I think you hit the nail on the head right there. We also have a very important game that has a lot of weight with you coming up. We've got the University of Cincinnati and Louisville this morning, right after our show. So what? It's the Nail Bowl.
No, it's the Fenway Bowl, but the
the Fenway Bowl, but what's their
So Louisville and Cincinnati are about an hour 15 away from each other, so it's a natural born rivalry back from the Big East in the AAC. It was the Battle of the Keg of Nails, and it used to be one of the most ferocious rivalries that Louisville football has had over the years.
Well, and a funny storyline is Louisville's coach is now going to Cincinnati after they lost Luke Fickle to Wisconsin, and Louisville is getting Coach Brohm, who was at Purdue, and Drew Brees is going to Purdue. So we love a coaching carousel. So many moving pieces at this time of year. Like you said, we've got World Cup, we've got bowl games, we've got NFL Saturday, which I am just so excited about. We'll give you a bunch of picks that you can use on the Superbook app today. They got a couple bonuses for the holiday season, so we love that. It's also Christmas season, so much going on, and the Tennessee Titans are heading to LA. They face the Chargers tomorrow for the 3:30 kickoff, and then also the Predators are rolling. So we have nothing short to talk about. So with that being said, if you know what time it is the morning brew time, served up by Nashville's Jam Company in Berry Hill, Nashville's premier breakfast brunch spot. Jared, hit it.
Taking you around the sports world for the biggest headlines. This is the Morning Brew, presented by Nashville Jam Company on Michelle and Junie.
Well, how is that for a little nice intro to our Morning Brew segment? So listen, if you never heard it before, grab your coffee. You heard the intro. We're going through the biggest headlines in the Nashville area in the sports world and also around the entire country. First off, too, if you have any headlines, make sure to text us in or call us, 615-737-1025. First off, the Nashville Predators are going through a major rut again. We talked about that, you know, a couple weeks ago when they were on that huge losing streak, and they really cannot seem to bounce back. And I know a lot of fans are very, very frustrated. They've had some overtime games, and they've had some games where they just offensively cannot get anything going. Ryan McDonagh has been out with an injury for the last couple of weeks. He actually wasn't able to play in Tampa Bay, which is his former team he played with and won some cups with. It was Father's Weekend, but he did get to go down with the team. But he's been a loss for this team. But with the new additions in Nino Niederreiter and releasing or putting Eli Tolvanen on waivers, and Philip Tomasino is in Milwaukee. You know, this Predators team is just really going through a rough patch right now.
And it's really disappointing after, you know, what we saw last year with Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchene both having 40-goal seasons. You would think that, you know, this could be something that they would build off of. You get Nino Niederreiter to fill that role on the second line. But, you know, the Preds are kind of going through a tough stretch with injuries with defensemen. I mean, you mentioned Ryan McDonagh, but also, you know, Jeremy Lauzon and Michael McCarron as well. So the depth there has been pretty brutal. But I think the big key to this is offensive production and not necessarily the defense. The defense really hasn't seen the loss of these guys as much in these losses that they've had. Obviously, you know, the Oilers game, they put up 6 goals, but I mean, the Oilers seem to always put up, you know, 5 to 6 goals every time they play the Predators.
Yes.
And this is a tough stretch for the Preds. You know, Robbie Stanley, I know on your all show in the mornings with Robbie and Rex Road, has mentioned that this is going to be, you know, a real test. And during this stretch this week, they haven't won a single game. It's looking really bleak here in Smashville for the Predators this season.
Well, and coming up soon, although, you know, a very injured Colorado Avalanche team, they will face the Colorado Avalanche. So if they could take advantage of, you know, the Avalanche not being fully healthy right now and be able to get a win, that would definitely just be great to get the monkey off the back for this Predators team. Okay, switching over to the Tennessee Vols, Jalen Hyatt announced earlier this week that he had an announcement on social media. I feel like with college athletes now, everything is announcement. So I was like, okay, is he going to declare for the draft? Is he going to not play in the Orange Bowl? Is he going to come back? You never know what's happening in their heads. But Jalen Hyatt, as expected, said that he will not be playing in the Orange Bowl, but he will be traveling to Miami with his team to be there for the Orange Bowl, because we can't forget he did get one of the best NIL deals with Hyatt Hotels, and he is putting up some of his teammates and their families so that they could come to the bowl game. So he will not be playing in the Orange Bowl, but he also said that he will declare for the draft. I think that Jalen Hyatt, you know, we really saw him just emerge this year. I think the only downfall about Jalen Hyatt is his size, but I do think that he could be a late first rounder. I don't think he will drop to the second round, but I think that's a good decision by Jalen Hyatt.
I kind of had an epiphany this morning about players sitting out in bowl games. You know, obviously I'm, you know, big Louisville fan. I'm from there, and Malik Cunningham isn't playing in today's game. And you know, this kind of goes with, you know, Jalen Hyatt as well. I'm just sitting here thinking, you know, with the expansion of the college football playoffs, are these guys, you know, going to sit out if they make the 12-team playoffs? Like, is that going to kind of fix this issue? Because I feel like bowl season, you know, for a lot of programs, has become a little bit irrelevant now that a lot of these, you know, big time players are sitting out. And, you know, when these guys go into the NFL, there's no certainty that they're going to make it in the NFL. And it's always been a thought to me is, why wouldn't you want to play in your final big game, knowing that if you make a big impact, that could be like your biggest sports memory of your career? That's something that you could talk to your kids about, because, you know, some of these guys are going to skip out on bowls and just flat out not make it in the NFL. And they're going to look back and be like, man, I really wish I could have played in that bowl. I really wish I could have, you know, had a big moment for my school that I could have talked about in, you know, in postseason play. And, you know, I feel like it's just a missed opportunity. I understand, you know, some of these big-time players, you know, they don't want to get hurt. It's going to hurt their draft stock as well. But, you know, for some of these guys, like, this could be, you know, one of your biggest moments that you failed to capitalize on it. So I hope that the 12-team playoff, when that does come into effect, that a lot more guys, and especially with NIL and players getting paid in college sports, that they elect to kind of put on a show for their final college game and still make an impact before they go to the league.
Junie, I do think with the 12-team playoff expansion that more guys will not opt out, because, I mean, we don't see guys opt out if they have a chance to win the national championship. But I do think, as you mentioned, bowls have become significantly more irrelevant these last couple of years. But I mean, if you're in a New Year's Six bowl, I think exactly what you said, right? You're playing another top 10, top 15 team. It's a great chance, especially if you're on the cusp of maybe a first round, second round draft pick, or even just going to the NFL in general. I think another thing to mention, though, I mean, Jalin Hyatt had his moment when they played Alabama and he had 5 touchdowns.
That is true.
I think when you talk about him as a specific player and you play a game like that where everybody's eyes were on it this college football season, that playing in a bowl game like this, a Clemson team who is a, you know, top 10 team, and we know the history of Clemson football and their national championships and things like that. What more could he do? I don't know. But I do agree with you on the point of some guys who, you know, it could definitely help their draft stock. And it'll be really interesting to see when the 12-team playoff is implemented if more guys choose to not opt out. So I'm very excited for that 12-team playoff, but also just excited to see some college football and NFL football today. But switching over to the NFL, coming up next, we have Ben Arthur from Fox Sports. He covers the entire AFC South. Last year, he was with the Tennessean, specifically covering the Tennessee Titans. And we are going to preview this Titans-Chargers game. Who's in and who is out for the Tennessee Titans, and do they have a chance of winning this game in LA? You're listening to the Michelle and Junie Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into the Michelle and Junie Show on this Saturday morning in Nashville. I'm Michelle Knezovic, joined with Junie Riddle. We got Jared Cassidy on the ones and twos. Our show is presented by the Nashville Jam Company, Berry Hill's premier breakfast and brunch spot. We've also are presented by Superbook Sports, the best sports books in the land. We'll be using Superbook at 9:45 to make our picks on some of these bowl games coming up. And then also we got some Saturday NFL games, which is always a nice treat. But right now we're going to head to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Ben Arthur. Ben Arthur works for Fox Sports and covers the entire AFC South. He used to be with the Tennessee and specifically covering the Tennessee Titans. Ben, how are we doing this morning? Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday. Good morning. How are you doing?
We're doing great here. Well, first off, Ben, let's just get right into it. The Tennessee Titans do not have a short injury list, and that's been the story of the team last year and has seemed to trickle over for this year. And it looks like one of the biggest question marks this week was, will Danico Autry play? Because we know how much of an impact he has when it comes to the pass rush. But just by the looks of it, you got Treylon Burks out, Christian Fulton, Dontrell Hilliard, and then also Danico Autry and Trey Avery. Do you think that this Titans team has a chance to beat this Chargers team who is up on the mend? They had injuries earlier in the season, but seem to be getting healthier week by week.
Yeah, look, with the Titans, they always have a chance, right? And we've seen this time and time again with Mike Vrabel over the years. He's able to sort of rally the troops, so to speak. It seems like in some of the games where they don't have any chance, they've able to kind of been able to win some of those games, or at least put up, you know, a heck of a fight. So are they out of this? No, but I mean, it's a, like you said, it's another daunting injury list, the pass rush, as you said, not having Danico Autry is a major factor. And we saw what these teams the last few weeks have done against the Titans. I mean, just being able to abandon the run completely and just throw the ball because the quarterback knows he's not going to get that much pressure, and the Titans already have their issues in the back end. We saw Jalen Hurts do it 2 weeks ago. We saw Trevor Lawrence do it. Even Joe Burrow 3 weeks prior and Aaron Rodgers, even though they won that Packers game, I mean, the Titans didn't have a pass rush in that game. And so this has kind of been an issue for about a month now. And you look at the weapons that Justin Herbert has with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, really two number one receivers, kind of 1A, 1B, however you want to kind of look at it. So the Titans are going to have to find a way to get to him. And you know, something in their benefit is the fact that the Chargers do have a banged-up offensive line. They haven't been playing with both their offensive tackles. So there's certainly opportunity, but the Titans have to put it out on the field, or this could be kind of another long game.
We've got Ben Arthur with us on the line from Fox Sports, covers the AFC South as a whole. So, Ben, we had this discussion on Robbie and Rex Road earlier this week, and we all had different views on this situation. So if it plays out that the Tennessee Titans, you know, they go to L.A. and say they lose by a field goal, they lose by an extra point, but they put up a good fight and it was a very close game. Do you view that differently on Monday rather compared to if they get blown out? Because, you know, one side of it is, well, a loss is a loss, and the Tennessee Titans just need to get wins under their belt as they head to the postseason, because, you know, the Jags are kind of trickling up on them for the AFC South. Or do you look at it as, no, well, there's some silver linings in there. You know, they played pretty well and they only lost by a field goal. How do you view that situation if it pans out that way?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I would definitely lean towards it kind of not mattering. Like a loss is kind of a loss, especially at this point in the season, right? I mean, with kind of the division on the line, the way they've unraveled has kind of allowed the Jaguars to re-enter the picture. And so I don't think you really look for moral victories at this point in the season. Obviously, losing by less than two scores, considering how the last couple weeks have gone, is certainly an improvement. But if they lose again, they're 500. So, and this is, what, week 15. And so I don't think you can really look for kind of a moral victory in that, because you can't really look for that at this point in the season. You're really playing for the right to be in the playoffs and to put yourself in the best position to be successful. So I don't think looking at, you know, a game where, you know, that they kind of give the Chargers the fight of their life, but they still lose by 2 points, I don't think you should really be looking positively at that just because of kind of their circumstances.
We're talking to Ben Arthur from Fox Sports, who covers the AFC South. Ben, with the huge loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars, like you had mentioned, this does open the door for the Jags to re-enter the division conversation. The Jags have the Cowboys, the Jets, the Texans, and then they close the season playing the Titans again down in Jacksonville. What chances do you give the Jags to potentially come back and sneak up on the Titans to take the AFC South at the end of the season?
Yeah, it's tough to say, because, I mean, I think a big storyline of the Jaguars this season has kind of been their inability to finish or find week-to-week consistency. And that goes beyond kind of that long losing streak they had earlier in the season. But it's like before beating the Titans by two scores, they had just lost to the Lions by 26. So it's kind of been a lot of ups and downs for the Jaguars all season. So it's kind of tough to say. But you do kind of have to look at the way they're playing overall. I mean, they have won three of the last five. Trevor Lawrence is looking like a franchise quarterback now. There's no doubt about it. He's been one of the best quarterbacks in the league since week 9. You just have to look at his numbers. I mean, he's been kind of playing phenomenal. So I think if you're the Titans, I mean, you just kind of have to take care of business, because you still control your destiny, right? I'm not sure quite what the percentage is, but I believe it's above an 85% chance of winning the AFC South. And as long as they kind of win the games they need to, they don't have to worry about what the Jags are doing. It's if the Titans continue to kind of not show up in the second half and continue to not kind of defend the pass well, is where you kind of have to start worrying about what the Jags are doing. But if you kind of just look at the Jags specifically, I mean, I think they're on the uptick. I think, and I've said this in the past, I think 2023 is when we'll really see them kind of take off. I think this has come with that first year with Doug Peterson. They're still trying to figure things out. But certainly with the way the Titans have played and the way they've kind of played as of late, I don't think I would bet against them. I wouldn't be totally surprised, honestly, if they beat the Cowboys. I mean, that's kind of how I feel about the Jaguars at this point.
Now, kind of touching back on the Titans matchup this weekend, it seems as if these two teams have been some of the more injury-prone teams in the entire league this season, the Chargers dealing with their own slew of injuries. Now, the matchup, it's kind of weakness against weakness here. The Chargers are 28th against the run, and they're allowing about 5.4 yards a carry. And the Titans' secondary against Justin Herbert is one of the worst in the leagues as well. Which team do you think can capitalize on the opposing defense's weakness to get a huge win this late in the season, as both teams are trying to compete for a playoff spot?
Yeah, it's – I mean, I have no idea. I mean, I think if as long as the Titans don't turn the ball over, I think they have a pretty good chance. Honestly, we saw what they did in that first quarter against the Jags. I think it was like 11 carries for 96 yards that Derrick Henry had, and then they start turning the ball over. They had four for the game. They kind of, by their own kind of miscues and errors and ball security issues, Derrick got taken out of the game. I think as long as they play kind of mistake-free football in terms of giving the other team, you know, kind of these additional possessions, and as long as they protect the ball, I think the Titans have really good chance of getting Derrick going, of controlling the clock, which we know they love to do. I think if the turnovers are kind of an issue again, I think that certainly opens the door for the Chargers. I think as long as the Titans can kind of control the clock and make sure Justin Herbert isn't on the field, that's obviously kind of the best case scenario. I think as long as the Titans don't turn the ball over, I think they have a pretty good chance of kind of winning that battle in terms of the battle of the weaknesses, as you said.
We've got Ben Arthur with us on the line from Fox Sports. And Ben, you mentioned the mistakes that we've seen from the Titans on the field these last couple of weeks. And, you know, in addition to that, there's been a lot of off the field storylines. I just want to get your thoughts on, you know, the whole firing of John Robinson, if you think it was a good, a bad idea, the timing of it. And do you think it's played a distraction to the entire locker room and the team as a whole?
Yeah, in terms of firing John Robinson, I mean, like kind of like everyone else, the move definitely shocked me. The timing also surprised me. But I can see why Amy Adams Strong went that route, right? I think the Titans have been a really good team for the last several years. You look at kind of not having a losing record since 2015, changing the culture of what used to honestly be like a joke of a franchise, and John Robinson played a really key role in that. But what they struggled with was being a consistently great team, like that they weren't able to get over the hump, so to speak. Like they had that AFC championship run in 2019. Obviously last year they were the number one overall seed in the AFC, didn't take advantage of that. They've had moments to where it looked like they were kind of going to break through that ceiling, but they were unable to. And I think John Robinson's kind of his misses the last, I think in particular, the last two, three off seasons, you look at some of the guys he's drafted, some of the free agents that have kind of been flops, some of the trades that have been flops. I think that definitely hamstrung kind of what the Titans were able to do in terms of their ceiling. And you look at their roster now, it's like they don't really have a lot of quality young depth. I mean, I think they had a really good 2022 draft, but you know, after this year's class, I mean, there isn't a whole lot of great young depth. You're really depending on a lot of older players that are in their late 20s, early 30s that are you know, closer to the end of their time with the Titans. And so I think that all of that, and then you look at the way AJ Brown played. I know in an interview with AP that Amy Adams Strong kind of denied that played a role. But I mean, I think it's fair to say that could have been like the cherry on top of kind of the issues or the punctuation of kind of everything that's kind of gone wrong. And so yeah, I think that's why I kind of see why the decision was made. Again, you can kind of look at the timing. I don't really understand the timing, but I can understand why the move was made. Was it a distraction in the in terms of their game last week? I don't think so. I mean, the front office personnel and kind of what they're doing on the field are so separate that, I mean, from in terms of Mike Vrabel having to address the media and from a larger organizational perspective, I think it's a distraction. But for players, I don't really see how that's a distraction when they already know they're kind of playing. Like, I think Ryan Tannehill put it best, like, when asked about that, he's like, every day, kind of your job is on the line as a player, especially when you're a fringe guy. You're fighting for your job. You don't know when you'll be cut, released, traded. They'll just kind of throw you to the street, so to speak. And so I don't think that necessarily played a role in the performance, the on-field performance, but I think definitely from an organizational perspective, I think it was kind of a distraction and a shock.
Ben Arthur from Fox Sports. Ben, thanks so much for hopping on with us today.
No problem. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, of course. Enjoy some NFL Saturday. I know it'll keep both of us really busy today. That was Ben Arthur from Fox Sports. He covers the AFC South as a whole. Junie and I will discuss a couple things that Ben mentioned and what we think that this game could play out tomorrow, like for the Tennessee Titans in LA. You're listening to the Michelle and Junie Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Michelle and Junie Show. I'm Michelle Knezovic with Junie Riddle on 102.5, 106.3. The game on this Saturday morning in Nashville. Junie, we just had Ben Arthur on from Fox Sports, and he knows the Tennessee Titans team pretty much in and out, considering he was the beat writer for the Tennessee end last year. Now he's expanded his role, and he's covering the entire AFC South division. And I thought he had a couple interesting points, and you and I haven't been able to really dive deep into this firing of John Robinson and what maybe the impact could be on this team, if any. But, you know, the way I look at it, and Derek Mason had a comment on this on Chase Willie and D-Mace earlier this week and talked about, you know, the confidence in this team just looks like it's really depleted. And covering this team and going into the locker room each day this week, it was very prominent that the message was we need to have a positive attitude. And Kevin Byard said it, and all the leaders on this team, we need to lead by example. We need to be positive. We can't let, you know, this 3-game losing streak turn into 4. And as leaders on this team, we need to be in meeting rooms and we need to encourage guys and we need to have just a positive energy. And even Mike Vrabel said it. He said that, you know, when you're in a losing streak like this, I need to change my tone when it comes to things. Do you think that this firing of John Robinson and the somewhat of explanation we got from Amy Adams Strunk basically saying that, you know, this team isn't good enough, and that coming from your owner put kind of a wrench in this team's confidence, Junie?
I think you hit the nail on the head there, Michelle. I mean, if you watch this team and see where they were at a couple weeks ago in Green Bay, when it seemed like everything was starting to come together for them, when you fire a GM in the middle of the season, when you have a 4-game lead in your division, you're almost a 95% lock to make the playoffs, and you make a move like that, and it just sends a message to the team. I mean, every single player on this team is on this team because of John Robinson. You know, he's been here for long enough to where I think Taylor Lewan, and he's, like I said, he's not even playing this season, is the only player on this entire roster that John Robinson didn't, you know, bring to the organization. So
the only player who has experienced a losing season with the Tennessee Titans.
No, exactly. And you know, the Titans were 7-3 and the narrative was completely different, and you barely lose to the Bengals. I mean, it was a highly competitive game, and, you know, Cincinnati is the reigning AFC champion. And then, you know, I feel like it was just such a knee-jerk reaction to the Philadelphia loss. I mean, Philadelphia is probably the number one team in the league in my eyes, mm-hmm. whether it's AFC, NFC, it doesn't matter to me. And the way the Titans win games is by the line of scrimmage and dominating that. And when you look at the injuries and you look at the woes on the offensive line and you look at, you know, Danico Autry being out and their lack of getting to the quarterback currently, I mean, you see why they lost so bad to the Eagles. It wasn't just the A.J. Brown trade. And, yeah, he had a big game. But, you know, they lost on the line of scrimmage and they got blown off the ball. And that's what led to them losing that bad. And then when you fire a GM after that and you have a huge divisional game at home, it just kind of sends the message to the team that, hey, guys, you all aren't good enough. The guys that that John Robinson picked aren't getting the job done for us. And I just feel like that's an off-season move that you make to just not cause a distraction and a disruption in the organization. I mean, imagine the head of you know, our company here just getting fired. Like, everybody's going to be in shambles and just been like, what's going on? What happened? Like, everybody and their mother is going to be asking you. And it's just – I just can't believe that Amy Adams Strunk would have done that in the situation the Titans are in, regardless of how she felt it would have been treated towards John Robinson.
Well, and it brings up so many other questions too, right, Junie? You brought up the parallel between if our boss one day just got fired by the owner of our company, right? So then all of us, it trickles down because everybody below is thinking, well, he drafted me or he hired me. Am I on the chopping block next? What if another GM comes in and brings, you know, his scouts and his people in? I mean, it happens in college athletics a lot, not in pro. I mean, you can't just, you know, re-recruit and say, hey, you're not getting a scholarship. It's a little bit different because they're under contract in the NFL. But I mean, it's a very valid situation. And Ben Arthur in the last segment mentioned a quote that Ryan Tannehill said when the firing happened. And I remember thinking when Ryan Tannehill said that, I was like, wow, that's a really good way to put it. Like, he's like, every single day we are on the chopping block for our job as a player on this Tennessee Titans team, right? Are you going to get released? Are you going to get waived? Are you going to have to become a free agent? I mean, we just saw Ola Adeniyi, who came off IR, and we thought, okay, he's coming back. He was a nice addition to special teams and a pass rusher. And then, you know, goes up to the Steelers, doesn't pass the physical. But I mean, every single day these players, right, are – a misplay, you know, bad attitude, whatever it may be of losing their job. And it's the nature of this business. But I also agree with you in the sense of, okay, you know, we'll never probably know the main reason she fired John Robinson. We can assume, we can guess, we can speculate. And that's our job right now. Because for me, I all week, and ever since I found out that he got fired, I was sitting at my kitchen counter and my jaw dropped. I was like, what? Because earlier that morning, Joe Rexroad and Robbie and I, we were all talking about, you know, all these fans saying he's on the hot seat, like, calm down, it's okay, you know. But now that it has happened, we can kind of look at what has happened to lead up to him getting fired. But I think the biggest question is because he got an extension last February, right? So he gets the extension through 2027 last February, him and Mike Vrabel, they're the duo, right? Everybody called them Vray-Rob. They were together. John Robinson brought him in and fired Mike Mularkey after a winning season, brings Mike Vrabel in. They're a duo. But there was still so much unknown between last February and now, right? So you didn't know AJ Brown trade hadn't happened yet. That obviously is the big one. You end up releasing Julio Jones last summer. That was another big one that didn't work out. You think Caleb Farley is getting healthy at that time in February and in training camp, he still looked, you know, we were watching him in training camp and we thought, oh my gosh, look at this, like 6 foot guy as a, you know, in the secondary, he was looking great. Like that was the storyline in training camp. And Dylan Radins was in training camp and all of those things looked like, okay, they're going to pan out. And then they all didn't, right? So I guess I do understand the extension to a point because there were still some things that were unknown.
No, and my perspective on this is that this roster isn't unsalvageable. You know what I mean? You've seen the last 2 years they've been dealing with injuries, and I look at last season when they were the number one seed, And it's like, if Ryan Tannehill doesn't throw three interceptions in that Cincinnati game and they go on to win, and even if they just won the playoff game and made it to the AFC Championship and lost to, you know, Kansas City, I still think John Robinson is still here today. And I just – when you have a GM that turns – your franchise around. Like I said, they were 3-13. He gets hired, and then immediately they turn into a 9-7 team, and they've progressed every single year since then. You've got to let this guy right the ship. GMs go through ruts. I mean, I've seen some of the best GMs have 3 or 4 years where they make a couple bad signings and a couple bad first-round picks, and you know, they're able to right the ship. I just felt like this move by Amy Adams Strunk was a knee-jerk reaction, like I said earlier, and it's almost like the fans had kind of gotten to her. It just seems like the owner tuned into sports talk radio and heard what the fans had to say, and even people on our station were just like, there's no way he gets fired. There's no way that this happens, and it's just unexplainable to me that you don't let a guy like that right the ship. I mean, you're talking about him bringing in Ryan Tannehill and turning the entire 2019 season around, drafting Derrick Henry, drafting Jeffrey Simmons, and bringing this team into relevancy. Kevin Byard out of NTS, David Long Jr., a sixth-round pick that's now probably going to get re-signed and be one of the top interior linebackers in this league. You just – You can't put a value on that, and you just don't get rid of people who do that for your organization, especially when you had almost a decade of being one of the worst football teams in the entire league. You just needed to give the guy the opportunity to right the ship. I felt like if he had another bad year in 2023 with the draft and the guys from this past year's draft didn't develop, then you make a move like that. And in the offseason, not when you have a huge lead in your division, likely going to make the playoffs. And if you get healthy, you never know. If this defense gets healthy, they could upset a team like the Baltimore Ravens or the Miami Dolphins. I truly believe that. We saw how good they could be. And again, it's just you throw a wrench in this entire mix for the entire season, and it just puts a shadow of a doubt for the entire team of what the future holds for all their careers with a firing like that. This stage of the season.
Well, and I think kind of just to wrap all what you set up, Junie, too, you know, now we trend forward into who will be the next GM. And a lot of times the grass isn't always greener on the other side. So we'll be on GM watch. Who knows when a new one will be hired, and then him and Mike Vrabel will need to gel. And before we know it, the NFL draft will be here. On the other side, it is time, 9:45. We always like to make our picks. We got some NFL games today. We've got some bowl games. Louisville football is playing today. I know Junie's going to want to pick that game, or definitely stay away from that game. We're also going to pick the Titans and the Chargers coming up on Sunday. On the other side, we're using Superbook Sports. You're listening to the Michelle and Junie Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. You hear the money song, you know what time it is. It is time to make our picks of the weekend. And we got NFL games on Saturday. We got some coming up in just about 2 hours. I had to do a little math there. Welcome back into the Michelle and Junie Show. I'm Michelle Knezvik, joined with Junie Riddle and Jared Cassidy. Guys, I have not been doing very well in my picks. I went 2-4 last week on Robbie and Rex Road. So we are looking to snap out of it this weekend. But also, too, I do want to mention before we make our picks, if you download the Superbook Sportsbook app and you make a three-team football parlay, so you could just do three of the games that we're about to choose right now, Superbook will give you a $10 bonus. Listen, who doesn't want a little extra cash during the holiday season? So make sure you do that today. So, guys, first we're going to start with the first game of the day coming up at noon. We got the Indianapolis Colts and the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings are favored by 3.5. I've been looking at this game all week when I do my Superbook reads, and I really like the Minnesota Vikings. I think they're going to try to bounce back after that loss to the Detroit Lions. The Indianapolis Colts have just been, I mean, we all know how they've been this season, pretty much irrelevant, and just a lot of stuff going on between Jeff Saturday being hired as their coach. And to be honest, I just do not think Matt Ryan is the answer. So many turnovers. And I think this Minnesota Vikings team is one of the best teams in the NFC. So give me the Vikings to cover the 3.5 today. Junie?
I'm going to go out on a limb on this one. I've said it on this show all season long. I'm not a believer in the Minnesota Vikings. I think the Vikings win, but the Colts are coming off a horrible loss to the Dallas Cowboys that was really embarrassing, and they're coming off a bye.
Oh, yeah.
So I think this is going to be a three-point game. They're going to cover by half a point. I'm going out on a limb. I'm saying the Colts cover, Vikings win.
I will
okay,
go.
Jared.
Vikings. Kind of with you, Jenny. I've thought all year that they're kind of a fraudulent team because of their record, but I don't see the Colts winning a game. I mean, Jeff Saturday's done a good job, but it's not enough at this point. And Matt Ryan, like you said, inconsistency of play from him, that's just not going to get it done in this league.
They're just too far down to make a full comeback. Okay, next game we got today, Junie, a division you know very, very well. We got the Ravens and the Browns. The Browns are favored by 3 points. Let's also remember that Lamar Jackson will not be playing for the Ravens and their backup. Junie, do you have an update on him? Do you know if he'll be playing, or will it be third string QB for the Ravens today?
Huntley will be playing. He passed through concussion protocol, so he will be the starter. He started a bunch of games last season when Lamar went out towards the tail end of the season, so the guy's got experience. But, yes, mm-hmm. He will be playing. So I'll go ahead and let you make your pick, and then I'll make mine.
Okay, so Baltimore Ravens, I just think cohesively they played better than the Browns this year. We all know that Deshaun Watson is back for the Cleveland Browns. He has played not well at all. He's not played up to his contract. I know he also hasn't played football in almost 2 years, but they're favored by 3 points today. I'm going to take the Ravens plus the 3 points. Junie?
I hate this matchup. I really do. But I'm going to take the Browns at home. I think the Ravens aren't as good of a team as a lot of people think, and I think especially without Lamar Jackson today, that they're going to take the loss. And you know, Cleveland hates the Ravens. The Ravens were the old Browns, so you know it's always a really mm-hmm. hostile environment when Baltimore comes into town. So give me the Browns. Unfortunately, I will take them for the win.
I will echo Junie. Unfortunately, I will take the Browns. I just think playing at home gives them a little bit of the advantage. Although Tyler Huntley does look good at times, I just think there's just a very few talented spots on that roster for the Ravens. I'll take the Browns.
This is also Deshaun Watson's first game playing at home
right.
as the starter, and he did look a little bit better last week against Cincinnati, so I can see him kind of picking up a little bit more steam as well against a Ravens defense who, you know, has had some woes this season.
Well, I hope he throws 3 interceptions today.
I think we all
moving on. Moving on to the next game we got today, the biggest one. I'm so excited for this game. Miami was able to beat the Bills earlier this year. We've got Miami heading up to Buffalo. Guys, I don't know if you've seen on Twitter today the pictures of the snow Buffalo today, but it is the epitome of a winter wonderland, less than 10 days away from Christmas. But Miami is heading up to Buffalo to face the Bills. The Bills are favored by a touchdown. And, you know, I also saw a report by Ian Rappaport during our show that Miami has said that they do not want the heaters on their sideline today. And I'm like, are you kidding? So this is going to be a very, very interesting game. And I do think that the weather will play a significant role on Miami's side, also a bit on the Bills side, but I am going to take the Bills minus the 7. I don't feel particularly confident about it, but I do think that the weather elements and the Mother Nature elements will play a big role into this game today. Junie?
Give me the Dolphins. The Dolphins are
–
listen, I just played the Rocky movies for Shayna. She had never seen him. And this is kind of like when Rocky is taking all those punches to the face and being like, can you hit me a little bit harder? That's what the Dolphins are trying to do. Give me the Miami Dolphins. They're better at running the ball, and especially in snow games, you want to get the ball in your athlete's hands. We saw Tyreek Hill against the Chargers last week pick up a fumble and just ran it in for a touchdown. You're going to need that speed in a game like this. And I think when it comes down to the running game, the Dolphins are just flat out better than the Buffalo Bills. I don't know if they're going to win in the elements, but I just think 7 points is a pretty big spread. So give me the Dolphins to at least cover, but I think it's going to be a close game.
I will take
Jared?
I will take the Bills. I also would lean to the under in this game as well.
Very much so.
Yeah, 43 points is currently. I just don't see a whole lot of scoring going on. I see a lot of defensive stops. Obviously, running the ball is going to be key in this matchup. I think the Bills can handle it, although the 7 points is a little scary.
Okay, guys, quickly, rapid fire. Who are we taking? The Tennessee Titans plus the 3 or the Chargers minus the 3? I'm taking the Titans plus the 3. Junie?
Taking the Chargers.
Bolt up.
Okay, 2 Chargers, 1 Titans. And also coming up next, we've got the Fenway Bowl. We got Cincinnati and Louisville. L's down, Junie. Everyone have a great Saturday in Nashville. Watch some football. Enjoy your holiday season. We'll be back here next Saturday, same time, same place. You are listening to the Michelle and Junie Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.